And now it's time for our weekly peek inside the pages of the Washington Post magazine, where we look for interesting stories about the way we live now. This week, the magazine offers a glimpse into the life of a woman who could be the next First Lady, Michelle Obama. Many people know of her because she has been by her husband's side as he runs for president, but she has a compelling biography and career of her own. Her story is told in the new book, Michelle, A Biography. Author Liza Mundy, a Washington Post magazine staff writer, wrote the book. An article derived from the book was in the Post's Sunday magazine this weekend. She's here with me now in our Washington studio. Welcome. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's great to be here.
You've written about so many things, you know, the new frontier and assisted reproductive technologies and all these things. Why Michelle Obama?
Well, I've always been interested in public figures who are high profile and sometimes polarizing. I've written about other public figures, Hillary Clinton, Janet Reno. They sometimes tend to be female, it seems, when they're polarizing. And I had written a Post magazine analysis of Barack Obama's political rise last summer, and I was approached by a publisher who was interested in providing readers with a balanced and straightforward account of Michelle Obama's life that people could take a look at before the election so they could really get an informed view of who she is and where she comes from.
She didn't cooperate with this biography, although you did interview her before.
I had interviewed
some
her.
Time ago. Why do you think she didn't?
I think two reasons. I think the campaign is being very careful right now with her and with her accessibility. You know, she became controversial in particular in February with her comment about, you know, being proud of the country for the first time, and she's certainly been the target of conservative profiles and attacks, I think is fair to say. So I think they're being very careful about making her available. I think it's also likely that at some point she wants to write her own book and maybe keep the market open.
Well, yeah. What did you find out about her that perhaps contravened first impressions or were different from what you think? People, and who those fictional people who have this opinion. But what was interesting to you?
Well, I think she's interesting in so many ways. I mean, I think the American story that she embodies, you know, her family is from South Carolina. Her ancestors are from South Carolina, and she is a descendant of slaves in South Carolina. And her grandfather traveled from South Carolina to Chicago during the Great Migration. And so she embodies this classic American narrative. You know, millions of other people made the Great Migration, and millions of other African Americans share a storyline somewhat like that. She herself was born in 1964, six months before the signing of the Civil Rights Act, and she grew up, you know, in post Civil Rights Act America, but in what I think of as contested terrain. She grew up in a neighborhood in Chicago that had been all white. It was a nice middle-class neighborhood, and black families started moving in the early 1960s. And in the course of about 10 years, the neighborhood completely transformed from being all white to being all black. So one of her first childhood experiences would have been of white, observing white flight, and, you know, as a child, wondering why that was happening. So that was interesting. And then she went on to Princeton University. I was there as well, and she and I would have overlapped for a year. And that was another thing that piqued my interest in her, because I remember the climate of the campus at that time. And the president of Princeton, William Bowen, was a leading architect of the nation's affirmative action policy. His writings had contributed to the Supreme Court's decision in the Bakke case that quotas were not permissible at colleges and universities, but that something called race-sensitive admissions were, where race would be one factor that could be taken into account along with, you know, academic ability, athleticism, whether or not you were an alumni child, all sorts of things.
But she wrote about the fact that she has been quoted as saying that it was kind of an uneven welcome there.
Absolutely.
We did not have the sense that the world was applauding the presence of herself and others like her. What about you? I don't know. What about you?
Yes, well,
you're not African American, but you are a woman.
Right. I could identify with that, because when I came to campus, women had been there for 9 years. And I can remember, you know, all sorts of things, large and small. There were many, many campus institutions that had not had a woman president. I can remember trying out, this is a small thing, but I can remember trying out to be the band announcer at football games, which is a really fun thing to be because Princeton has sort of a goofy band. And I remember being told by one of my classmates, you know, you did a great job, but but we just can't imagine a female voice coming over the loudspeaker at the football games. And this was a classmate. And so it was, you know,
this was already at a time when there had been female heads of state around the world, and, you know, Israel and Pakistan.
And Princeton in particular is a conservative campus. And there were a lot of alums who didn't like the fact that you know, women and African Americans were coming onto campus. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, intellectual standards were going to go down and things like that. So she had to listen to that.
There was some really interesting anecdotes in the piece about how some of the partners at the firm when she went to Sidley and Austin in Chicago were a little irritated with her because she actually had the nerve to want some interesting work and some responsibility. And they were like, it is what it is. This is what we have here, and you're getting a lot of money. So that was interesting. And then, of course, you talk about her move into public service. But based on your reporting, just in the minute that we have left, and it's always so unfair to ask a reporter to predict things, but what kinds of things would engage her as First Lady? How do you think she would be as First Lady? I mean, on the one hand, she's had this sort of untraditional career like Hillary Clinton for a First Lady. On the other hand, she's taken a traditional role, taking her husband's name, putting her career on pause to support his. What do you think she'll do if elected?
She talks a lot about being interested in work-family balance, and I think she would continue to do a lot of dialoguing with groups about that. And I think she would, you know, be involved in formulating some sort of policy. She would also obviously spend a lot of time parenting as a First Lady because they have young children who would be in school. And she talks a lot. She talks a lot about the challenges of balancing, and she would obviously continue to have to do that.
Washington Post magazine writer Liza Monday. Her new book is called Michelle, A Biography. Her piece in the Washington Post Sunday magazine, we'll have a link. It's called The Beginning of Something Big, and we will have a link to it on our website if you want to read it in its entirety. Liza was here with me in Washington. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.